You know, Jesus was a great teacher, and the crowds would come and they would hang on every word. And you remember one time the Pharisees wanted to arrest Jesus, and so they sent some men to arrest him, and then they came back. And they said, "Why didn't you arrest him?" And they said, "Nobody ever spoke that way. He spoke with authority." Not only, I mean, Jesus taught the Word of God, and He is the living Word of God. So it's so powerful. And so as we think about Jesus, He used a lot of methods and a lot of ways to proclaim the truth. And one of those was parables. And sometimes when people read parables, they get confused and they look at it and they go, "I don't know what this thing's talking about." But a parable is a story basically to help make a point. When Jesus was teaching something, sometimes He would throw out a parable or a story to help emphasize that. In fact, the Greek word for parable it's para, which means beside, and bole means to throw. It's something thrown beside to help understand. And so that's what Jesus would do. He would say, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and then He would start a parable. And this morning we're going to look in Mark chapter 4. It will take just a few minutes before we get over there, but we're going to look at a parable that Jesus taught. And I think from the parable you're going to be able to see that there are different levels of producing fruit. There are people who teach things and talk about, you know, you're going to heaven and everybody's going to heaven. We're all going to get there and hold hands and rock back and forth and it's just going to be great. And that's not what it's going to be like in a sense. And there are a lot of people say it doesn't really matter what you do down here because we're all going to be in heaven anyway. The truth is it does matter what you do down here. Not for your eternal destiny, but for how you're going to get to serve Him, the places of responsibility, to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." All that ties together. So we're going to look at that as we look at John 15 and we look at Mark chapter 4. And the issue there is producing fruit. And that's important because a lot of times we don't think about it. We think about, you know, I'm going to heaven, I have eternal life, I got my own life to live, I got so much to do. Well, when we talked about prayer Jabez, we talked about that we wanted our lives to count for Christ. That we wanted to live to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. We wanted Him to use us in a way that was beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. And we talked about that. So what do we want to do? John 15 verse 8 says, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." That's the key for our lives. We want to bear fruit. Let me show you again the outline that I have for you. We started last time about just the whole issue of salvation. That's how we started the study. We said, let's make sure we understand that salvation is by grace through faith, and it's not our works, it's not our goodness, it's not our fruit, it's not our production. None of that has any bearing on our eternal destiny. Our eternal destiny comes about by faith in Jesus Christ. We talked about privileges of believers and all the things that God has done for us. Then we talked about responsibilities of believers, and we said one of those is to produce fruit, is to make an impact in that way, and that our lives would count for Christ. And so as we did that, we then started about what is fruitfulness and the fruitfulness of the believer. And we talked about what is biblical fruit, and then we began to get in the aspects. Are there levels of fruit? And then the second question, this is one we won't get to today, but we'll get to it next week. Can a believer not produce fruit? Well, the answer is going to be yes and no, but let me show you this, that there are a lot of people who say the way you know you're a Christian is you look at your life and see if you're producing fruit. Well, first of all, that's not very accurate. You can't go by that. And that passage that talks about you'll know them by their fruits is really dealing with false teachers and not talking about knowing whether a person's saved or not. And we'll talk about some of that as we get to it. Then we're going to talk about viewing a life, and then we'll go to John 15, which is the powerful place that talks about producing fruit and why produce fruit. So there's a lot of things we're looking at in this study. At John 15, 8 is the key. This is God is glorified as we produce fruit. Remember last week we talked about what is fruit. What is fruit? We said that is leading somebody to Christ, is that producing fruit? Yes. What about having the fruit of the Spirit come out through your life? Is that producing fruit? Yeah. What about doing good deeds? Ephesians 2:10 says that we've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Titus says that we should do good works to all men. That's profitable. Is producing and doing good works fruit? The truth is yes. In fact, we saw that when you lead someone to Christ, and Paul talked about it in Romans chapter 1, that he would come to Rome and have fruit among them as in other places. We talked about that becoming like Jesus Christ and having the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is producing fruit. We talked about doing good deeds. The whole idea over there in Colossians 1:10 basically talked about bearing fruit in every good deed. So we can produce fruit in a lot of different ways. We want to be fruitful men and women. Well, that takes us to the second thing, and that was the aspects of fruit. And we said three questions. Are there different levels of fruit? In other words, is there fruit and more fruit and all that kind of thing? And then will believers automatically produce fruit, and can you tell? And then the third thing is, how do you look at or what do you do when you view a life? Well, we started last week with viewing our different levels of fruit. And so look at John 15, and this is where we started. And I think tying together with this parable this morning will help us. In John 15, of course, this is the last night before Jesus goes to the cross. He's with his men. It's the upper room discourse. In fact, in John chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, that all takes place at one time where Jesus teaches his men. And here it is, right before he's going to go, he's going to get arrested, he's going to be crucified. He's already told them some things like, you know, I'm going away. And they didn't like that. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. He's already told them that sort of thing. And now in John 15, here's what he says. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So he's using an analogy that there's a vine and the vine dresser, that there's the vine. And notice, every branch in me. And now he's moved. He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Now, the truth is, when you put your faith in Christ, according to this analogy Jesus uses, he's the vine and we are a branch that's connected with Christ. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, so he can use that. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. And he goes on down and talks about bearing much fruit. In fact, verse 5 says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, in this little passage, and we're going to go into a lot more details in several weeks, but in this passage, Jesus is talking about producing fruit. And I think sometimes it's overlooked. I think a lot of times we talk about salvation, we talk about wanting to share our faith, we talk about making sure people know Christ is Savior, and that is so vital because we want people not to be separated from God forever, we want them to have eternal life. But then sometimes, especially churches that are very careful on the gospel and that we teach that salvation is by grace through faith and works don't have any part to do with it, sometimes people get the impression that works aren't important at all. In fact, sometimes when you tell people that you're saved simply by grace through faith and works have nothing to do with it, they'll say, so you don't think works are important at all, that people shouldn't even do? In fact, people ought to live any way they want to. We never say that, but sometimes people get that impression. So one thing we have to be careful is we have to remember that when you trust Christ as Savior and you have eternal life, you have the great privilege and responsibility to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to produce fruit and do those kind of things. So in John 15, Jesus is speaking and he says, no, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Now, are there branches in Jesus that do not produce fruit? Yeah, obviously. Can a believer not produce fruit? I think obviously, yeah. Okay, now watch this. He takes away. Literally, it says he lifts up. We'll talk more about that when we get to it in just a little bit, maybe next week. And then notice this. And every branch that bears fruit. So are there people who bear fruit? So we got some that don't produce fruit. We got some that do what? Bear fruit. Now watch. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. So we got no fruit. And then we got fruit. And we got more fruit. Now look down at verse 5 again. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, that's close fellowship with me, and I in him, he bears what? Much fruit. So from this little statement that Jesus used in the analogy that he's the vine and we're the branches and we're connected to him, he says there are branches connected to him that don't produce fruit. Then there are branches in him that produce fruit and he does something so that they'll produce more fruit. And then he says that if you abide in him and he abides in you and you've got that close fellowship with him, you'll produce much fruit. And so we see that there are levels. Fruit, no fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Notice again verse 8. By this is my Father glorified. How is the Father glorified? That you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Now we brought this point out last week and then we'll get really to it. There are a lot of people who say that if you produce fruit, it proves you are a believer. That's what they say. They say, this is how you know you're a Christian. You produce fruit. One of the first things, Nat Clark is here, and he's the man that led me to Christ, and he taught our men's retreat, and he's in Sunday school today. And one of the first things that Nat taught me is that when you put your faith in Christ as Savior, you're saved and saved forever, and that you look back to the truth that you trusted in Christ, and he saved you, and that's how you know you're a Christian. And 1 John 5:13 says, these things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may what? Know that you have eternal life. And so right after Nat led me to Christ, I knew that I had eternal life because I look back to the fact that I trusted in Christ as my Savior. He's the Savior. There are people today that are teaching that the way you know you're a Christian is you look at your life to see if you're producing fruit. Let me tell you this. How much fruit? For how long do you produce fruit to determine if you're a Christian? How much do you produce? What if you produce fruit now but you don't produce fruit 2 weeks from now or 2 years from now? Are you still a Christian? Were you ever a Christian? This verse plainly says that when you produce fruit, it glorifies the Father and proves that you are his what? Disciple. It didn't say proves you're a believer. It says, proves you are a disciple. And as you know, there's a big difference between being a disciple and being a believer. Being a believer costs you absolutely what? Nothing. By grace, you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift. What does it cost you to be a disciple? Your life. Take up your cross and follow Him. Give up your life. It costs you everything to be a disciple. And so He says, if you produce fruit, it proves not that you're a believer. Because some believers don't produce fruit. Isn't that what it said right at the start? It proves you are a disciple. So don't get into the thinking that you have to look at your life and see if you're producing fruit in order to show that you're saved. Because if you do that, you know what? You'll never know. You can never know. Because let me tell you this. Do you know if you're going to be living for Jesus Christ 5 years from now? Do you know that? No, you do not. You do not know if you're going to be faithful. Your salvation is not based on faith. Yes, Rick. Yeah, you can ask. Yeah. Don't ask a hard one. Okay.
I buy into what you're saying. Okay. When he says here that he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit.
Well, the word is which. Let me look at the verse. Is it verse 2? Okay, some passages say He lifts up. Some say He takes away. Some says He cuts off. I think cuts off is not a good translation. The best translation is lifts up. We're going to talk about it when we get through it verse by verse. But it's the idea of lifting up so it'll begin to produce. It could mean two things. It could mean to lift up, like I'm going to bring some things in your life that's going to make you begin to produce fruit. Or it could even mean lift up. Some people take it, take away. That He takes you home. It has nothing to do with loss of salvation, but it may mean if you're not going to produce fruit, He may take you home. That's two ways to look at that. Exactly. All of chapter 15 is dealing with the believers, and He's talking about them producing fruit. So that's a great question, great point. Anything else before we keep going? Okay, now with that in mind, that we've seen there's no fruit, and then there's fruit, and then there's more fruit, and there's much fruit, and when you produce much fruit, it proves that you are His disciple. With that in mind, I want you to go to a parable that Jesus taught. That's Mark chapter 4. So flip over there to Mark chapter 4. And some people use this parable in different ways, but I think that the point of the parable in Mark chapter 4 is to show believers who produce fruit. I think obviously when we read it, you'll see that the emphasis is producing fruit, and we'll see how it ties together. Look at Mark chapter 4. Just look at verse 1. I'm going to go through this fairly quickly, and we'll just, if you got questions or comments, let me know. He says, and he began to teach again. This is Jesus by the sea, and a very great multitude would gather to him, and he got into this boat and into the sea and sat down, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables, and he was saying to them in his teaching. Now, here's the parable. Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. Now, did they all know exactly what was happening? I mean, that was the guy going out and he's throwing seeds out. That's what everybody did. I mean, he used illustrations and parables that every one of those people would understand. So they said, oh, yeah, we know that. That's a good story. Okay, now watch what he's going to say. Behold, the sower went out to sow, and it came about that as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. After the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it off, and it yielded no crop. What's the point here? No crop, no fruit, nothing. And then other seeds fell in good soil, and they grew up, and they increased, and they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, 100 fold. Have you noticed this for just a second? 30, 60, a hundredfold, could that be fruit, more fruit, much fruit? We'll see. We'll see as we go through. But Jesus tells this thing. Now, remember the story. He goes out and he throws some seed out, but it never gets, the birds came by and take it. It never even gets into the ground. Never gets connected. Then some gets connected. It grows up, but when the sun comes up, it's just not got a root or anything, and it burns right up. Just doesn't produce anything. Then the other one gets there, but the thorns come up and just choke it all out. It never produces anything. But then there was some good soil that it got in, and there wasn't the thorns around, there wasn't those kind of things, and it grew up, and some produced 30, and some 60, and some 100. Now, if we're like the guys, they're going, what's he meaning? What's he talking about? So we got to get him off by the side and say, what are you talking about? You know, and he'll tell us. But let me tell you, there are two ways that people like to look at this parable. Some say that it's a picture of salvation, and that the first one, that the seeds never got there, not believers. The second one where the seeds got there, but they didn't grow up or anything because the sun came, scorched them, not believers. Where the ones fell down and the thorns came up and got up, not believers. And then they say the only one that's a believer is number four, where it fell into good soil. Okay? That's one way to look at it. Second way to look at it is the way I look at it. And I think he's showing the issue of fruit. And so the first one that's thrown out there never connects. I don't think that's a believer. I think we'll see when Jesus describes it. It says they never even have a chance to believe. It's taken away. Second one, it says receives it. We'll see his illustration in a minute. It receives it, grows, but it's scorched out, doesn't produce. The other one grows, thorns come all around it, doesn't produce. But the other one, it produces 30, 60, 100. I think that numbers 2 and 3 are no fruit. But the number 4 one is more fruit, much fruit. Well, let's see Jesus illustrate. Now, you might say, well, why do you think it's showing fruit? I said, well, because we're going to realize that number 2, number 3, number 4 all receive the word. Because he's talking about that the sowing the seed is the word of God. They all receive it. And then in John 15, there's some who produce and some don't. I think in this parable, we'll see some who do not produce and some who don't. And the ones who produce 30, 60, 100 fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Let's look how it is. They're going to do just like us. They're going to ask him. Look at verse 10. And as soon as he was alone, they wanted to get him by himself, his followers along with the 12 began asking him about the parables. What are you talking about? And of course he said, you know, it's parables sometimes are hard to understand, and I want you to make sure you get it. That's what he's going to tell them. I want to make sure you get it. So watch how he describes the parable. The sower sows what? This is verse 14. He began to tell them the parable. In fact, verse 13 says, and he said to them, do you not understand the parable? And how will you understand all the parables? Here it is. The sower sows what? The word. It's the word of God that goes out. It's the message, would say, of salvation. And there are those who are beside the road where the word is sown. The word is out there, the message. And when they hear it, immediately Satan comes along, takes away the word which has been sown in them. They never get it. It's gone. One of the other parables, which is found, I think, in Luke, tells that just comes along before they even can get it, and it's taken away. In fact, it says, before they can believe. In fact, it even says that so they won't believe, he comes and takes it along. Okay, that's the first one. I think that first ones miss it. They don't get the message. Verse 15. And there are those who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear it immediately, in a similar way, the one, I'm lost my place. They're the ones beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear it immediately, Satan comes, takes away the word which has been sown in them. And then in a similar way, there are those who are beside the road that are sown on rocky places. Here it is. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with what? Joy. Do you think they got it? I think so. But they have no root, no firm root in themselves. And people say, oh, they're not Christians. Wait a minute. The Bible says you need to be what? Rooted and grounded in the truth? Are there believers who are not rooted and grounded in the truth? Sure they are. They have no firm root. I mean, and watch what happens. They have no firm root in themselves, but only temporarily, and when their affliction or persecution arises, the word immediately they fall away. And are there believers who fall away from the truth? Yeah. Let me tell you, if the sign of whether a person's a Christian or not is that they make it all the way to the end, then there are a whole bunch of people that we know that the Bible says put their faith in Christ that didn't make it. Demas didn't make it. Solomon's life, how did Solomon end his life? Wasn't very good. In fact, you don't want to talk about it. See? Now, watch what happens. It says, the other ones are the one the seed was sown among the thorns. That's verse 18. These are the ones who hear the word, have heard the word, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and they become unfruitful. Now, notice this second one here, or this the one that hears it, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things and the worries of the world. In this, it gives both the positive and the negative aspect. Sometimes it's the worries of the world that stop people from growing. Sometimes it's their desires for riches and things that stop them from growing. I mean, there are some people who are so tied into this culture and this world and the things that they never grow. And then there are some who are so worried and so bothered and so messed up, but they never grow. And so they produce nothing. They become unfruitful. Then, notice. And verse 20, and there are those on whom the seed was sown on the good soil. They hear the word, they accept it, they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, what I see from this parable, which ties back into John 15, and we don't have a whole lot of time, so if you've got questions, we'll take them in just a second. But what I see from this parable is Jesus saying, the word sometimes is sown, and some people never get it. Sometimes it's sown, and people get it, they receive it with joy, but yet when, you know, they don't grow, they don't have the root, they don't make it, and they produce no fruit. When the sun comes up, it scorches them, so to speak. He says, then there's some that receive it, they get it, and they don't produce fruit because they let the cares of this world, they let the riches, the desires, that they become like thorns that just kind of choke out everything. They never produce. He said, but there's some that when they hear the word, they believe it, of course, and then they begin to produce. And there's some who produce 30, that's fruit. There's some who produce 60, that's more fruit. There are even some that do 100-fold, that's much fruit. And so I think that we can take Mark chapter 4, this parable, and tie it back into John 15 and say this, that sometimes the word of God is spread, the truth about Christ and salvation, and there are people who trust in Christ as Savior and there are people who don't. And we all know that. We know that there are people that you can talk to and say, you need to put your faith in Christ as Savior, and they say, that's not for me, or something like that. And they miss it. Then there are those, many, many people, I hope, many people. In fact, I hope and pray every one of you in this room have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, the truth is, there are some of you in this room that are producing no fruit. There are some of you in this room that are producing fruit. There are some that are producing more fruit. And there's some that are producing much fruit. Now, you may say, well, what's happened? Some of you are not producing fruit because you have no root. You're not grounded. You haven't studied the Bible. You haven't been growing and that kind of thing. And life kind of scorches you out. There are others who trusted in Christ as Savior. You're not producing fruit because you've let either the cares of this world or the desires of this world kind of choke it out. But then there are others who are beginning to producing fruit, some more fruit, some much fruit. Now, when we get to John 15, as Rick brought out a while ago, and it says, those that do not produce fruit, he, and some Bibles say lifts up, some Bibles say takes away, some Bibles say cuts off or something like that. What does that mean? Well, I think if I was producing no fruit, I'd better check that one out, you know, to find out what it means. And it's important. And so what the goal is, John 15:8. The goal is that your Father is glorified as you produce much fruit and prove to be His disciple. Okay, let me stop for just a second and see if there's any questions or anything about the parable and what we're doing. Any questions, comments, anything? Yeah, Ken. Okay, you mean in the passage? Okay, the question is, the fruit that we're talking about in Mark 4, I think it could be anything, but I think he's just saying they're producing fruit, whether that is a fruit that they lead people to Christ, fruit they're growing as a Christian, fruit that they're doing good works. Yeah, I think that's what I mean by that, the general. Is that okay?
The second one is, it sounds like in the third instance where the thorns choked it out, they became unfruitful, so they were fruitful one time.
That's a possibility. Ken said that third one almost appears that maybe they were fruitful, but the thorns and everything choked them out. Let me look at it. Let's look at it just a second. It says, the worries of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires of other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. There is some people who say maybe they had produced fruit at first, but then they let things just choke it all out and they become unfruitful. So that's a possibility of an interpretation there, that they may have produced fruit and then became unfruitful. I don't know. I just know that when you take John and tie it together, there are going to be believers who don't produce fruit. There are going to be those who produce fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And that's a possibility that in this incident, they started out, but then the things just choked it off. I think we all know of believers who trust in Christ, your Savior, of course, and then for a while they're on fire and they're growing and they're doing things, and then other things just kind of take them on away. And before you know it, they're not serving anymore. They're not growing. So I think it's true. Huh?
They're like a comet.
Like a comet, go up fast and then disappear. You know, the truth is, you know, so many people think Christian life's a race, but it's like a 100-yard dash. And like Nat said, the comet, they take off like a bullet and they're all excited for about a month or 2 months or 3 months or 6 months, and then all of a sudden you can't find them anymore. Don't let that happen to you. I mean, you know, you may be excited today and say, I'm really excited. But what you want to do is to keep on growing. Because don't be like the comet. Don't be like the guy who thinks the race of the Christian life is a 100-yard dash. It's a distance race. You have to run the race with endurance looking unto Jesus. So you're exactly right. Yeah, thanks, Ken, for bringing that out. What else? Anything? Have we already had the second bell? Oh, we did? Oh, okay. Okay. Any other questions? They can't start without us. Any other questions? Yeah. Anything else? Okay, what we'll do is we'll touch on this again, and then we're going to get into John 15. That's pretty powerful, so we'll get that next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for the opportunity to look at your word. And Lord, as we see just from the parable that there are, and John 15, that there are people who have trusted in Christ who do not produce fruit, and then some who produce fruit and more fruit and even much fruit. And Lord, what our goal is that we want to be men and women who not only have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and know that we have eternal life, but then that we would grow in such a way that we would produce fruit and more fruit and even much fruit. And by that, you would be glorified and we would prove to be your disciples. That's our goal and plan, Lord. Would you encourage all of us so that we could grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.